Blog Talk Radio.
And I am so glad to be here tonight, and I'm glad that you made a conscious choice to join me in the studio on tonight. Tonight we're going to be talking about some things that we have always known, or when we hear the word desperation, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? Desperation. We have been taught and we have learned that desperation is a negative. But tonight we're going to be talking about how desperation is a positive. And we're going to talk about desire, desperation, and destiny. Desire, desperation, and destiny on tonight. And we're going to correlate those things. And we're going to show you how having the desire to have your desperation lead you to your destiny. Amen. I don't know if that sounded right. And that's all. We're going to show you tonight that you want a desire to have your desperation lead to your destiny. And if you do that, you're going to begin to see the manifestation of your destiny plan out. You're going to start seeing things coming to your favor. But you got to be desperate. You got to be desperate for the things of God, desperate to reach your goals, desperate to see your destiny manifest. You got to be desperate, and we're going to talk about that on tonight. And I'm excited tonight because I have a special guest in the studio with me who decided that they would come and just join me in the studio on tonight. So I have Mr. Darius Elijah Hamilton in the studio, and he's just going to be in the studio with Coach D, with Coach D on tonight. So I'm sure he's going to have some comments regarding the subject matter that we're going to talk about on tonight. I would suggest that if you're listening in to tonight's broadcast, that you may want to get you a pen and paper. I will be giving quite a bit of scriptures because I want to give you something to stand on. I want to give you something to hold on to. And there's nothing like standing on and holding on to the Word of God, because it's the Word of God that begins to cause things to change. It's His Word. His Word is power, is life, is productive. In the beginning, He spoke and there was. He spoke and there was. He said, let there be, and there was. He said, let there be, and there was. And the whole form of the earth, of the universe, and everything that's in it was formed by words. You are words housed in flesh. And so we want to make sure that as we begin to read the Word of God, that we just keep note, that we make note, that we know the Word of God, that we know Scripture. I'm not saying you have to know the Bible from Genesis to Revelations and everything in between. It's good to study, because as you begin to study the Word of God, whether you remember it or not, the Holy Spirit will bring Scriptures to your remembrance in times of need. So when you're in certain situations, you'll begin to see the Word of God will bring, the Holy Spirit will bring the Word of God to your remembrance. Amen. So tonight, again, I will be speaking on a lot of scriptures, but again, we want to talk about desire, desperation, and destiny. So, Father, we just thank you on tonight. We thank you for each and every person who has decided to tune in on tonight's episode, Lord. I pray right now that under the sound of my voice, on behalf of you, Father God, that every word that go forth, Father God, will land on good soil. Every seed will be planted in good soil, Lord, and that it will take root and that it will grow and produce good fruit. Father God, I pray that everyone will leave out of this show after tonight with a desperation, with a yearning desire and desperation to reach their destiny, Father God. And so, Father, I just thank you on tonight. I thank you for the word that you have for your people on tonight, Lord. And, Father God, I pray that by your Spirit it will be clear and concise, that those who are listening can take it and run with it and apply it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, again, good evening and welcome into the studio tonight. I want to start off by saying, you know, I don't know about you all, but when I hear the word desperation, that has always been a negative thing for me, because I was looking at it strictly from a carnal mind, a carnal standpoint. So when people say you desperate, you know, nobody wants to be desperate. Nobody wants to be known as being desperate, you know, and so you always looked at it as a negative thing. But tonight I'm gonna change your way of thinking. I'm gonna give you a paradigm shift, because desperation can very well be negative, but desperation could also be positive. And tonight we're gonna be talking about the positivity of desperation. Amen. We're gonna talk about why it's important that we have a spirit of desperation, specifically for the things of God, have a desperation specifically for our destiny. And so I want to give you some things because I want to give you a picture and I want you to be able to have a perception of what I'm going to be speaking on tonight. So as I began to study for this, God began to give me situations, biblical situations in the Bible that would have been acts of desperation, acts that breeded desperation that led to destiny, acts of desperation that led to destiny. And one of the acts was the death of Lazarus. Lazarus' death breeded a spirit of desperation that led to his destiny. Because had his sister not been desperate to go seek Jesus to come and heal or come and bring her brother who was already dead, we're not talking about he was sick, passed out in a coma, but the word of God said he was dead. And God knew that he was dead. And Jesus knew that he was dead, and Jesus did not respond to their request for him to come and heal the situation. He let Lazarus sit for a couple of days. And we know when somebody dies, the longer they sit, the more their body begins to decompose, and it becomes with the odor, rigor mortis set in. So I would imagine that if it took Jesus 3 days to get back to Lazarus, and he did it purposely because he wanted to make sure that they knew that Lazarus was dead, so that when he got there and he raised Lazarus, they would know that that was a God moment, a destiny moment. So again, Lazarus' death breeded a desperation to destiny, and the destiny was that Lazarus lived, and he did not stay dead. Amen. The woman with the issue of blood. You know, she had had an issue of blood for years, many, many years. And if you know anything about that culture, when women were on their menstrual cycle, they were put aside. They were considered as defiled. They were unclean. So during that normal, what would be a normal 3 to 7 day period on her cycle, she would be isolated from everyone else because she was considered unclean. Well, this woman had an issue with blood. She had been bleeding for 12 years. So as you can imagine, in this culture, she was passed out, set aside, isolated. She was seen as sick and evil and everything else. But her desperation to be healed, her desperation to reach the garment, the hem of Jesus' garment, she was so desperate that she didn't care what people thought. She didn't care what people said. Only thing she was desperate for is to touch the hem of his garment, and that led to her destiny. Her destiny was her healing. She was healed from the issue of blood. And I could go on and on. Joshua marched around Jericho. He was so desperate that he marched around Jericho for days, and finally the destiny took place. That wall came crumbling down. And as Mr. Darius said, David facing Goliath was a desperation situation that led to his destiny, because not only did David kill Goliath, David ended up becoming the king. So that was his destiny, but he had to be desperate. You have to be desperate to stand up to the giants in your life. And in this, you know, Goliath was a giant. I mean, he far towered David. David was a little man. And so we have giants in our lives, and you got to be desperate to stand up against the giants in your life and speak to the mountains, the giants, and let them know that they have no dominion. You have to be ready to slay the giants in your life, and you got to get creative with what you're slaying. David was creative. David killed Goliath with just a slingshot that he created. So that was, again, another desperation to destiny moment. So tonight we're going to talk about destiny to desperation, but we're going to talk about you want to have a desire to do that. Amen? Did you have something that you want to say?
Well, like I picked David facing Goliath, that his desire was to follow God's word, and his desperation moment was that he stood up to this man that was humongous compared to him, and basically no one was able to stand up to Goliath. And his desperation was that he his desire was to listening to God's word, and he stood up to this giant and he slayed him, and it leading to his destiny of him becoming the king and becoming, as God said, one of his own heart.
After God's own heart.
After
yeah.
God's own heart. So desire, desperation leading to your destiny. The Bible has so many different examples in there, and these ones, they are only just a few of what God has shown us, that desire, desperation, how they equal up to people's destiny.
Amen. So what I would like to do, and as I always do in my shows, I don't want to assume that people understand or know what a word is. I like to break the word down. I like to give you the definition. I'm giving you the natural definition of the word according to our dictionaries in the English language. I'm not supposed to get deep. I get deep for me. I don't have to get deep for everybody else, because oftentimes I want to know what the Hebrew was and what the Greek was and what this was and how this applied to this. But for simplicity's sake, I'm just going to give you desire. What does desire mean? A conscious impulse towards something that promises enjoyment or satisfaction in its attainment. Ridding oneself of all desires, how humans process desires. That's how humans process desires. Desires is also best described or best defined as a craving, a longing, a yearning. It suggests feelings that impel one to attainment or possession of something. A strong feeling, worthy or unworthy, that impels to attain, to possess, that something is within reach. So when we desire, we get this strong compel or impelled to attain, to possess something that is in reach. And oftentimes in the natural, we have some natural desires that we desire that may not be godly desires. And I'm not saying that they're bad desires. They may be good desires, but are they God desires? And that's what we want to get tonight. What are your desires? Do your desires line up with the desires that God has for you? Because in the Word of God, God tells us in His Word several things. He tells us several things. The first thing, as it pertains to desire, because that's what we're going to start with on tonight, you know, he tells us that he tells us the good things about desire and he tells us the bad things. So let's talk about the carnal desires. I'm not going to say the bad thing, the not so good, or the carnal. We're going to say the carnal desires. God warns us against carnal desires. He warns us against it. And he says in James 4, you desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want. You do not have because you do not ask God. So many of us go to God, and we are asking God for the desires of what we desire, what we want, our carnal desires, our fleshly desires. And God is not a God of the flesh. He's a God of the spirit. So when we get these desires, and if these desires don't line up with the spirit of God, then oftentimes we may see people that's praying and their prayers are not being answered. Their prayers are a mess. They're wondering, Lord, why you haven't answered my prayer? I've been asking. I've been wanting this. I've been wanting that new Corvette. I've been wanting that new 12-bedroom house. I mean, just, you know, and sometimes our desire is so carnal in nature that it just does not line up with what God has desire for. And he tells us that. We desire, but we do not have. And then he goes on to tell us, for everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father. That's 1 John chapter 2. He says, all these lusts we have, all these things we desire, the clothes, the mate, the homes, the cars, all these things we desire with our flesh. He said, it does not come from the Father, but from the world. Now, why am I saying this? Coach D, why are you saying this? I'm laying the foundation because I'm getting ready to bring it home, and I'm going to bring it home for you, but I want you to understand the carnal, the fleshly desire, and why oftentimes we can have these, and I'm not saying that people don't get their fleshly desire. Because some people get their fleshy desires, but it never turns out as a positive experience. You know, people can get fleshly desires. Oh, Lord, they just wanted this particular house, and they wanted it, they wanted it, they wanted it, and they got it. Then they got the house, and then a year later they were miserable because they were in debt. They, you know, now they're going through a divorce because they have to work too much. Now they can't spend time with their family, so now they're going through a divorce. Their kids are running away, and now they're trying to figure out how they pay for this big house that they've been that they wanted, not what God wanted for them, but what they wanted. Amen. So we're again talking about the carnal desires. Then he goes on to tell us in 1 John chapter 2:17, he says the world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. That's the key on tonight. This is what I want you to get. The world and its desires, so all the desires of the flesh, of this world, the things of this world, they're going to pass away. But whoever does the will of God lives forever. So we got to know, oh, what I desire, is it the will of God for my life? What I desire, is it going to lead to my destiny? Because we all have a destiny. And so I need to be, now you got to begin to ask yourself now, when you're desiring something, you need to verify and qualify your desires. You need to start asking yourself, and how do you know if your desire is of God? Because it's going to line up with the mind of God, which is the word of God. So you're going to start finding scriptures. If you desire something, start finding scriptures and see what God said about what you desire. Because as you begin to find the scriptures to confirm, how do I know? Psalms 37:4 tells us, take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Why is that? Because if you delight in the Lord, then the desires of the Lord becomes a part of what you desire. If you delight yourself in the Lord, then that the Lord begins to live on the inside of you, and he begins to download his mind, his desires, his passions. The things of God begin to be downloaded in you, so you no longer desire what you want. Giving you a perfect example, I used to desire to be in the club. I wanted to go to the club on Friday night. Friday, the weekends would come. I couldn't wait to get off of work so I could rush to the club. I was going to rush to the club, and I was going to dance and drink all night. That was a desire I had. We know that that wasn't a godly desire. That was a carnal desire, a flesh desire that I had. But then as I started giving my life to the Lord, and I began to spend time in his word, begin to spend time in his presence, the more I spent time in his presence, the more he began to download into me his mind, the word, his word. And as he began to download in me his word, my desires began to change. I stopped desiring what I desire, and I began to desire what the Lord desired for me. So my desire was no longer to want to sit in the clubs all weekend long. My desire was more towards, you know what, I want to make sure I'm at church on Sunday, or I want to make sure I want to go to conferences or workshops, or I want, you know, my crowd of friends begin to transition. My mindset began to transition. We are forever a work in progress, so there's no perfection. But what I'm saying is that when I get on myself and I become hard, and when you get on yourself and you become hard about the things that you're missing, the things that you're blowing it on now, I want you to remember, think back. Think back to where you were 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, and you will begin to be encouraged. Why? Because you'll start seeing that you may not be where you need to be, but you're not where you used to be. You'll start seeing that you don't do some of the things that you used to do. Some of us used to smoke cigarettes. We don't smoke cigarettes anymore. Some of us used to have just be out promiscuous, having sex. We don't do that no more because we begin to change, and we begin to spend time with God, and the desire, God begins to put his desire in us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So we got to spend time with him, though, because if you're not spending time with him, you don't know what his desires are for you. So you begin to spend time. And he says in Psalm 37 again, take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. John 15:7 confirms that by saying, if we remain, if you remain in me, in other words, if we remain in God and God's word remain in us, guess what he say? Tell me, what does that say?
He says, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you.
Say that again.
Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you.
So he just gave you the formula to get your prayers answered. He gave you the formula to get your prayers answered. He said, if you remain in me, that means stay in me, dwell with me, abide in me, kick it. For modern terms, kick it with me. Be a part of me. Be about me. Ride and die for me. Have, he says, you remain in me and I in you, because God is, you know, it's the word is his mind, and Jesus was the living
word.
So he said, so if you remain in me and Jesus, my word, my mind remains in you, you can ask whatever you wish, it would be done for you. Why is he telling us we could ask whatever we wish and it'd be done for us? Why is he so willing to make it happen for us when we ask what he wish if he remains in us?
Because we show our dedication to him.
But who does?
But he lives inside of us.
So it becomes our desire.
It becomes his desire, but it also becomes. Our desire becomes God's desire because he's now living inside of us.
Amen. Amen. So, again, he's told us two formulas. Delight ourselves in the Lord. He tells us remain in him and allow his word to remain in us. And we can ask whatever we will. And he would, whatever we wish. And he would give it to us because he knows that we're not going to ask something out of order. He knows that we're not going to ask something out of line. Why? Because he knows we're remaining in him. So he knows that we're thinking like him. He's given us a piece of his mind. And so we're going to only desire what's in God's mind because now his mind is in us. So when I speak and I say I desire perfect things, we hear a lot of people saying they want a husband or they want a wife. And there's nothing wrong that, because that's what God created, man and woman. He created it from the beginning of earth. He said, it's not good that man be alone. He wants you to find a man. He wants you to be a helpmate, ladies. He wants a man to find a wife. You know, he wants us to find our covering. He wants that. God wants that for us. That's a God thing that he wants for us. Where the problem and the delay and the stagnancy come in is when we start desiring what we want for us in that mate, and we want to start telling God, we want to start giving God a list. And I heard people say, speak exactly what you want. Tell God exactly what you want to every detail. I'm not knocking nobody, but my thing is I don't want what I want. I want what God wants for me. I've gotten what I want for many years throughout the course of my life. I've gotten what I want. It didn't work. So I don't want what I want. I want what God wants for me. So if I give God this long list that I want him to be, you know, have a nice face, he have perfect teeth, you know, I want him to be this tall, I want him to be weigh this much stuff. See, that's too much of me. That's going back into what I want, the fleshly desires. It's not getting into what God wants for me, because I can get everything I want from a physical appearance and not get what I need. And I don't want what I want. I want what I need. I want God to give me what I need. Amen. And so we want to make sure that we're abiding in him, so we're not desiring the wrong things. And we also want to know that when we're praying and we're believing God for things, that we're believing him for things that he believes for us. And we can trust that our prayers will be answered. Now, they may not be answered when we want them to be answered, but in his word, he's telling us we can ask whatever we wish, and it will be given to us if we're abiding in him. And sometimes we get off track. And one of the ways we know we get off track is that either that thing manifests and it turns out to be a nightmare because it's what you wanted, or it doesn't manifest. Thank God for the times that your prayers haven't been answered. Hallelujah. You should be praising God. because he knew exactly what you needed, and he didn't give you what you wanted. And so that prayer never got answered. You don't see it now. You're frustrated now because it didn't get answered, but you'll find out a year from now, 5 years from now, you'll be praising him that he didn't give you what you thought you wanted. Because if he would have gave you what you thought you wanted, you could be in deep trouble, and you could have had a whole lot of heartache. But because he didn't want you to go through the heartache, and he knew that's not what you needed, he didn't allow that prayer to manifest. So that's a praise God moment. Amen? So we just went through desperation. I mean, we just went through desire. So, Mr. Darius, do you have anything that you want to say about desire? And then we're going to move on to desperation.
Well, all I can say is, most of the time when we've heard about desire, desire has always been seen by a lot of people, including Christians. Even in the Bible, desire has been seen as a bad thing. Desire has been seen as something when people desire for the wrong thing, and that desire leads to a bad path. But we're right now talking about how there is a good side to desire when you're desiring for the right reasons and for the right cause.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that insight. Okay, and then we're going to move to desperation. I'm going to move to desperation, and we're going to wrap it up with destiny. As soon as we are, if there's any, please write down your questions. I will give everyone an opportunity within the studio audience to ask questions. We just want to go ahead and continue in the flow of where we're at, and then I'll begin to take questions. So please don't forget your questions. Please don't hang up. We will be asking those asking for questions, but we're going to go ahead and go through this so we could get it done and laid on the table, and then we're going to take questions. So now we just dealt with destiny. Now we're going to desire. Now we're going to deal with desperation. Desperation, let's see what the definition of desperation is. Loss of hope is surrender to despair. A state of hopelessness leading to rashness. The feeling that you have when you are in such a bad situation or you are in such a dire situation that you are willing to take risks in order to change it. Desperation. We're going to talk about that because that's the word I was telling you that I feel like everybody have a negative thought on desperation. It's always been used in a negative sense. Oh, they're so desperate. Oh, look at, nobody likes somebody desperate. And I often would say, especially in the single life, I would always say desperation breeds counterfeits. When you get so desperate for some mate to be with somebody that you get before God, and you get desperate before God, and you end up with a counterfeit, someone that was not purposed or intended to be part of your destiny. In this case, we're going to talk about desperation because the drive, we're talking about the drive, that the feeling that you want or you get when you need something so bad you're willing to take risks in order to change it or to achieve it. And so we're talking about being desperate towards your destiny, being desperate to see the end result of that thing. As we were talking early on, when we started talking about desperate situations that led people to their destiny, when we talked about Lazarus' sister after his death, and we talked about the woman with the issue of blood, she was desperate to touch the hem of the garment, and it led to her destiny. We talked about the desperation of Joshua. With Joshua, with his march around Jericho, he was so desperate that he was out there marching, and his destiny was that wall came crumbling down. That was his desire, and his desire combined with desperation led him to destiny. In the name of Jesus, amen. So desperation. We said that's that urge, that's that hopelessness, that's that thing that's leading to rashness. I'm desperate. I need to eat. And when you're desperate and you need to eat, you're going to go find you something to eat. Amen? And that means going down to the pond and finding a fish. I don't know. I watched this show. I frequently watch this show called Naked and Afraid. And get past the naked part, because we all came in the earth naked and we're going to leave the earth naked. Amen? But this show is a survival show where they drop these people off on these foreign on these islands in the middle of tropical rainforests and in the middle of the deserts of Africa, and they only give them a couple of items to survive with. And what they find is they come there and they're all plump because they've been eating normal food and getting their proper rest, and they come and they plump. And within two or three days of them being there, you could see the weight begin to leave. You could see they become desperate because now they're desperate for water. They're desperate for food, and now they have to become creative. They have to become innovative. They got to be, you know, they have to really, they're desperate. And so we need to be desperate about the things of God. When God has given you a dream or a vision or idea, whether he told you to start that business, start that ministry, whatever that thing is, your destiny that's leading to your destiny, we have to become desperate for that thing. And that means desperation means that when we don't see a solution, we got to create. We got to be creative. We got to be innovative. And when you see everything you look around and see from refrigeration, you know, from solar power to automobiles, so this stuff didn't just pop up and start existing. Somebody had a desperate situation, and in that desperate situation, they began to get creative. I don't know. I'm not going to say my parents are that old. But I remember, I still use the term, and my kids laugh at me. I use the term icebox. I don't say refrigerator. I'm starting to say it because my kids tease me. And they said, Mom, why do you call it an icebox? Well, I grew up with it being called an icebox. And I was not that old because we didn't have an icebox. We had a refrigerator. But my grandmother was in the era where they didn't have refrigeration. They had an icebox. And the icebox was this little box you had, and a man delivered a block of ice every day, and you put that block of ice inside this box, and that kept your food from spoiling quickly, you know? And so I still call it an icebox because my grandmother called it an icebox, and my grandmother's mother called it an icebox, so I call it an icebox. So I'm saying that to say this. Somebody got desperate. Somebody got sick of the ice block not lasting long enough to keep their food good. Somebody got sick of having spoiled food. Somebody got sick of having to throw away food because food wasn't that easy to come by. So somebody became creative, and somebody began to become creative and started using their God-given creativity to produce a refrigerator. Same thing with a TV. Everything we see is the creation of somebody. It started as a thought in their mind, a desperation. In most cases, it was like, man, I'm sick of my fingernails snagging. I'm sick of having to tear it off and it's uneven. Maybe if I could come up with this thing that'll clip my nail. So now you got a nail clipper. But every creation started off with probably desperation. I desire to figure out how to keep this food clean. Desperation, I've got to get this food cold. I've got to keep it cold. I'm desperate. And then destiny. Here's the refrigerator. So, again, desperation is not it's a drive. It's a drive, and either it's going to drive you towards creativity or it's going to drive you towards something else. It's going to drive you towards creativity or carnality. So it's going to drive you somewhere. It could drive you to good things, and it could drive you to not so good things. So you determine where it's at. How do you know it's going to drive you towards good things? Because remember, you go back to desire, and you know your desire is the desire that God got for you. And because he's abiding in you, and you're abiding in him, so his word is in you, and you're in his word, then guess what? Your desire is a godly desire that's going to create godly desperation. Lamentations chapter 3 and 21 says, yet hope returns when I remember this one thing. The Lord's unfailing love and mercy still continue. Fresh as the morning, as sure as the sunrise, the Lord is all I have. And so in him I put my hope. Amen. That's the desperation, is that he's your hope, and you put your hope in him. Then it goes on to tell us in Psalms chapter 43 and 5, why am I sad? Why am I so troubled? I will put my hope in God, and once again, I will praise him, my Savior and my God. These are just things that you can remember, that desperation, a good desperation, the push. You know that God is your hope. When you're in him, you desire what he desires for you, then you're going to push. And that desperation is not a bad thing. Amen. It's not a bad thing. You have the power of the Holy Spirit living inside of you. And that is the Spirit of God. And so it's going to drive you. It's going to push you. But you got to be desperate. You can't sit back and wait for stuff to happen. You know, that goes on to tell you that faith without works is dead. It says you got to take action. You can't just desire. You got to take action. You have to drive that desire. You have to be desperate enough to drive the desire to your destiny.
Like, when we were talking about, I want to kind of get back with David a little bit and how there's, like, with him, how there was a lot of desperation on that. Because with David, his desperation was, as it says in the definition for desperation, is taking a risk to change it. And what he saw was a big person that was challenging the people of God. And his desperation was his big risk to want to change that is he put himself in the front line against someone who, if he wasn't a man to most people, could easily tear him to shreds. His desperation to change all of that was he put himself in the front line against someone that all the people that were fearing him was like, he's going to get himself torn to shreds by this guy. Look at how massive he is. And his desire and his belief in God caused his desperation to move him forward with defeat, slaying this giant, and leading to his destiny of giving the people of God hope in God once again.
Amen. Amen. That is so true. And, I mean, that's a good story. The story of David really speaks to some of the things that we're speaking of tonight. And really, every part of that speaks to the desire, the desperation, and the destiny.
The David and Goliath story is a story that has been used in movies, television. It has been used in so many arts because it is one of the most powerful stories in the Bible of showing a little guy taking on a big person and being triumphant. But in movies and all that, they don't have as much of a spiritual background, as the Bible put it, of showing that his faith in God was so strong that he was able to beat him.
Well, when you say that it's a typical story of a good against evil,
I would say that.
So maybe that's why, that's probably why the world has embraced the story of David, because it's just, you know, even in the world, even though sometimes, I mean, they're not godly, but everybody likes to, you know, in most cases, everybody likes to see the good guy win.
Yes.
Yes. So we are now getting ready to go into, we dealt with desperation. We're going to finalize with destiny, and then I'm going to start taking on. Let me just do this. We're going to stop that destiny for a minute. I mean, and I'm going to go in because I see that we have a couple of callers that have questions. So I'm only going to take a couple of questions now, and then we're going to get into finalizing with destiny. So caller, area code 432, last 4-0-2-0-5, you are live on Processing the Pain.
Well, hello.
Good evening, caller. You are live on Processing the Pain. Hello?
Hello?
Okay. Yes, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Oh, okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you perfectly.
Okay, well, I just thank God Almighty for both of you. I was so, oh, my God, I don't know what to say. Darius, I'm so glad to hear you and hear you ministering. Thank you. I like the subject that you brought up about David. He was indeed Well, the people of Israel, the children of Israel, they were desperate. They were really needing someone to come forth, and David was elected to take that position. I like what you said about that part that really that you're going to bring up, the destiny. And would you say that the desperation in most cases is inevitable in order to place your feet on or go in the direction of your destiny?
Amen. Amen. So you're saying that Minister Donald, can you repeat that? I'm not sure that our listening audience can hear you. Yes, if you could just repeat the part about the desperation.
The desperation, would you say, and this is my question, would you say that it is inevitable when leading or when headed in the direction of your destiny? Would you say it's inevitable? Is it necessary? And while on that journey, will you pick up things to open doors and close doors as you're on that journey to your destiny?
I would say yes, what you're saying, because to me that lines up with where the Word of God tells us about our steps being ordered. And when your steps are being ordered by the Lord and you're walking in the steps that the Lord has for you, that when you're walking, everything that you need to complete that journey is being brought into your path, and things that we pick up along the way that may not be where we should have, because sometimes we could get a little bit off track and off path, and we'll grab things that maybe we didn't need, you know. But yes, I believe that as we follow God, and we walk in those steps, that He'll bring to us everything that we need, because what we need is already there. You know, if we go according to what the Word of God is telling us, that it's already completed, it's finished work, and we're just having to be, we have to walk in the manifestation of the finished work. So it's already there. It's just us trying to grab it from the spiritual and bring it into the natural, because they let it be done on earth as it already is in heaven. So we just need to be able to manifest it into the natural, because it's already completed in the spiritual. I mean, that's my take.
Okay. Would you also say that the desperation, is it a natural occurrence? Is it something that's natural within us, something on the level of instincts, the desperation? Or would you say this is something that desperation is something of God?
I would say that I think that the God type of desperation, we're using the word desperation, and I want to be careful with that, because, again, desperation has got a negative, you know, it's been spoken of so negatively, you know, over the years. We've been taught that desperation is not a good thing, but I would say that I would say that if we're using desperation towards driving us, I would say that it's a drive. It's just another emotion of drive, being driven towards the things of God, being desperate, thirsty, because, you know, we now know that the world now uses the term thirsty as kind of a form of desperation. So I would say that and we see that in the Bible, where the Bible speaks about the thirsting for the things of God, you know, as a deer panteth at the water. I think it's the desperation in this case, as it pertains to this message, is really a thirsting for the things of God, being thirsty, being driven to get to where we need to be when it comes to the things of God. I don't know if that answered your question, but hopefully
well,
that answers your question.
Well, actually, I basically just wanted to just participate and ask those questions, because you're right. It is a negative and a positive when it comes to desperation, and because if you use it lightly and without definition, certainly it can be taken the wrong way. So I thought I'd throw that out there a little bit. I really have enjoyed the show tonight. And this new minister...
Well, thank you so much, man of God, for your questions, and we thank you for your continued support. I'm going to get to the next question so that we could close out the show with the closing word of destiny. Amen. Thank you
okay.
so much.
Thank you.
Caller, area code 310, last four, 1370. You are live on Processing the Pain. Caller, area code 310, last four, 1370. You are live on Processing the Pain. Okay. Well, we're going to get back to the teaching here. We're coming towards the end of the show, so we want to go ahead and finalize the teaching, and we're going to finish this call, this show on tonight with destiny. And let's just see what the words say about, or what the world say about destiny as far as the dictionary. Something to which a person or thing is destined. Fortune wants to control his own destiny. A predetermined course of events, often held to be irresistible power or agency, felt that destiny would determine their future. So that's what the world say about the term, about the definition of destiny. And we know as believers that we believe that we all have been predestined, that God has a plan for us. We know that Jeremiah 29:11 tells us, for he knows the plans that he has for us, declares the Lord, and those are plans to prosper us and not to harm us, plans to give us a hope and a future. And all that we've been talking about tonight with desire and desperation has been about hope. It has been about hope. You know, desperation is hopelessness. When you start feeling hopelessness, you begin to act rash, or you begin to push harder, you know. So destiny is saying, in Jeremiah, God is telling us he already has a plan for it. He has a hope and a future for it. And then he also goes on to tell us, then you will call on me and I will come. He said, you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen. He's saying, we will pray and he will listen. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you. So in other words, he's saying that he already has a plan for us. And he has a plan for us. He has a future and a hope for us. We need to be desperate for him. We need to be desperate for the things of God. And because as we begin to seek God, and as we begin to abide with him and his word abides with us, and as we begin to delight ourselves in the Lord, that means we're praying, we're speaking with him, we're spending time, he's talking to us, through our worship, he's talking to us, through our prayers, we're talking to him, we're communing with him. And as we begin to commune with him, he's saying that he's already going to line us back up. You know, we hear the word redemption. Christians hear the word redemption. And a lot of Christians hear that word and don't even really know what that word means. And in simplistic forms, redemption is something that was once in place, taken out of place, and then put back in place. I learned that through my mentor at Vertical Leap. But it gives you a good, clear perception of what redemption is, something that was once in place, taken out of place and then put back in place. We are the redeemed. So that means that we originally was in place. We was originally with God from the foundation. We were originally with God. Then when we were birthed into this sinful nature, into this sinful world, we was then taken out of place. And then when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, and we confess with our mouths and believe in our hearts, then guess what? We're now birthed back into place. So we, you know, so he knows the plans in Jeremiah, destiny. 1 Peter chapter 2 says, and a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall, they stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people. He said, there's a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they're disobedient. They're out of order. They haven't went through the redemption process. They were in place. Now they're taken out of place, and they haven't gotten back in place. So they're disobedient, and they're stumbling and they're falling, and also they were destined for, you know. But it says, but you, because you went through the whole process, out of place, in place, out of place, and now you're back in place. And because you're back in place, he's telling you, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into a wonderful light. When you made the decision to go back in place, you are now in, you're children of the light, you know, and you're of a royal priesthood. And you have, you know, a purpose, a destiny, a desire. And you have the desperation. You have the drive to the things of God. At least you need to have the drive for the things of God. 1 Corinthians 2:7-9. It says, no, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. Again, before time began, from the foundation of the earth, it was a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before the time began. And then it goes on to say, none of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, what no eyes have seen, nor ears heard, and no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. And I desire, and it's my hope, that we all love him, that we desire him. And because we desire him, we are abiding with him, and we're delighting ourselves in him, so that he could give us the desires of our heart, because our desires are now the desires he has for our life. Not what we want, but what we need and what he's given us, because he knows what we need. And so we now are walking towards our destiny, and we're fulfilling our purpose and our destiny in our lives, because we have the right desire, and that desire has driven us. And that drive, what we're calling desperation tonight, has led us towards destiny. Amen? So we have learned tonight that the proper desire, according to our relationship with God, will give us the desperation, the drive that we need to fulfill the destiny, to walk according to the steps that have been ordered for our lives. And we have to trust God the whole way. We have to trust and believe that as we continue to seek him, that as we continue to keep our focus on the things of God, as we continue to be driven about the things of God, that everything that we need that's already matched, that's already there, that we will begin to become creative. And as we become creative, that the mind of God that's on the inside of us will begin to manifest these things on the outside. Amen. So let it be done on earth as it already is completed, done with in heaven. So, Father, we just thank you on tonight. We thank you for the word that went forth. We thank you for the manifestation of your glory, Father God, for your revelation knowledge, for your rhema word, Lord. I pray that each person that has heard the word on tonight, Lord, that they grasped it, that they took it, Lord, and that they will apply it to their lives, Lord, that they will be encouraged and know that they are the redeemed, Father God, that they will love you, that they will seek you, Father God, that they will hide themselves in you, Father God, and allow your word, Father God, to hide on the inside of them, Father. Not hide, but be on the inside of them, Father, that it will begin to manifest things on the outside of them, Lord. If anyone is struggling, Father God, on tonight, I pray for them right now. I pray, Lord, that you will hear their cry, Father, that you know everything. You know the struggles. You know the addictions. You know whatever it is, the financial woes, the health woes, whatever it is that they're going through, Father God, I pray that you will meet them exactly where they are, Lord, that they will just thirst, that they will be so desperate for you, Father, that they will seek you with their whole heart, their whole mind, Father God, with all of them, so that they could begin to live this journey of destiny. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we want to thank, I want to thank my in-studio guest. He had his words to say on tonight, and I am blessed that you joined me in the studio on tonight. Is there anything you want to say in closing?
I want to say is that this was a great topic to talk about, because that is honestly something that a lot of people need to know, is if we're not, if we don't have a desire, I'm going to take this to a little bit of a different level. If we don't have desire, it's like, take example, someone who is going through something. If they don't have desire to change, then they want to take an act that is desperate, that is going to help them change. And what I'm basically saying is, someone has to have a desire to take a desperate act that will lead them to a destiny that God has planned for them. If they don't have that desire, then they're not going to take a desperate act. They're going to just let it move on, and they will be stuck in an area that is way behind the destiny that God has planned for you, because God has planned for all of us. And if we don't have a desire, then we won't be able to take desperate action to get to that plan that God has for us.
Amen. Amen. Kind of like presupposition. I don't know if that's God's word versus five senses. Amen. Well, I thank God for you, man of God. I thank God that he's using you, and I thank God that in spite of our worldly challenges and the things that we will face in this earth, and he said there will be trials, but trials and tribulations bring about patience and endurance. So I pray that the Lord would continue to keep you covered. I pray that he would continue to pour into you. I pray that he would continue to guide you. But more so, I pray that you would have a thirst and desire for the things of God that will manifest into your positive destiny, that all that you were created to be will be the manifestation. Amen.
Amen.
Again, we want to thank you for tuning in to this episode of Processing the Pain. We pray that you were blessed. Please feel free to continue to join us. Join us every Thursday evening at 7 p.m. for Processing the Pain. On Wednesdays, we have Woman to Woman at 7 p.m., and that is generally topics that's pertaining to women. And next month, the month of October, we are very excited because October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and we have a wonderful guest that's going to be joining us the month of October, along with some of her ladies that's going to be sharing their stories and their triumphs. And so please feel free to join us on Wednesday nights, the whole month of October at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. On Tuesdays, the second and fourth Tuesdays, we have Cheek to Cheek, which is a support group that helps families process through the loss of loved ones. So on the second and fourth Tuesdays at 7 p.m., please feel free to join us. Again, we thank you. Know that you are truly loved and appreciated, and we look forward to seeing you next week. Have a great evening.
Many times I can't see what you do.